Opening your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. This is an amazing chapter before us. I'm going to read the 10 verses. And I know from personal infirmity that it is very easy during the scripture reading in a worship service to allow our minds to wander and to think about so many different things. But I would urge upon you this morning, follow with me every single word. As I've said many times before, I have nothing inspired to say this morning. But this book which we read is the very inspired word of God. It is God-breathed. And if that were not enough, it has been preserved to us. It carries authority. And so let us pay close heed as we read it. Isaiah 35 and verse 1. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. The excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are fearful of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for the wilderness shall water break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk therein. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let us pray. Great God of heaven, now open unto us this holy book. Open to us this divinely inspired word. Grant us eyes to see, ears to hear, and feet to leap upon thy way, we pray, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The contemporary context of this 35th chapter of Isaiah is that of the land of Judah, which has been laid waste, which has become a wilderness. God made covenant with his people. If you will keep my laws, if you will walk in my ways, if you will keep yourselves from idols and from the abominations of the people that I have driven out of the land, then I will be your God, and you will be my people, and I will sustain you and bless you in the land. The land will flow with milk and honey. The land will be prosperous. But God also told his people, if you forsake my law, if you turn to idols, if you assume the abominations of the people that I have driven out of the land, then I will drive you out of the land. And you will become captive in other lands. And the land which has not kept its Sabbaths because you have forsaken my worship, it will keep its Sabbaths. For the land will lay fallow. Man has yet to keep any covenant with God. Man has broken every covenant that God has made. God has kept up his end of the bargain. God has always kept his end of the covenant, but man has failed in every covenant that God has made. Man has never been faithful to God. Man turns from God to idols so quickly. The hog that was washed returns to its wallowing in the mire. And so, as we come to this 35th chapter of Isaiah, in the contemporary setting, Judah has been overrun by Assyria. The people have gone into captivity, and the wild beasts have come, and now they are the inhabitants of the land which was once inhabited by God's people because of their sin. Paul said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth in travail unto now, waiting for the adoption, waiting for the restoration, waiting till God restores all things. And though this passage, as I've said a few times now, in its contemporary context, is speaking of Judah and the invasion of the Assyrians, yet in this chapter we find a picture of all of God's creation. Because you see, at the very beginning, God made a garden. And in that garden, he placed Adam and Eve, and to them he gave one covenant. Thou shalt eat of all the trees of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat. For in the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And man broke the covenant. Man partook of that fruit in the garden. And what happened? They were driven out of God's paradise. They were separated from that place that they were created to be. Now let us look at this glorious 35th chapter of Isaiah. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. You see, the Garden of Eden was a glorious place. It was a beautiful place. There were no thorns. There was no poison ivy. There were no weeds. And the lion was no danger. And when Eve saw the serpent, she had no fear of the serpent, for it had no venom. But when sin entered into the world, death came by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so the land of Israel was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And God had promised that he would drive the wild beast out of the land, and even the hornet would not harm God's people. The hornet would drive out the wicked, but the hornet would be no enemy of the people of God. And yet, because of their sin, it has become a wilderness. But here is a glorious prophecy: God will restore the wilderness. The wilderness will blossom again. And it continues in verse 3, "Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say unto them that are fearful of a fearful heart, be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you." God promised that he would restore his people to their land when they repented. And so in the Garden of Eden, God promised that he would send one that would bruise the serpent's head, though it would bruise his heel. And in that one, there would be salvation and restoration. And so strengthen the weak hands, ye that are in captivity. Ye that dwell in this world of sin, strengthen the weak hands. Your God will come, and he will save you. And in Zechariah 9, in verse 9, we find the prophecy, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." Next Sunday, or Sunday, two Sundays away, is what we call Palm Sunday, when we remember the entrance of Jesus into Jerusalem, when this prophecy was visibly and literally fulfilled. Matthew chapter 21, verse 5, "Tell ye, daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and he is sitting upon an ass's colt, and the foal of an ass." And so we read there in verses 5 and 6, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." We saw a few weeks ago a lame man leaping. When Christ came, he gave the blind sight. He took clay and spittle, and he made a new pair of eyes. He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. The lame men leap. And so in verse 6, "Then shall the lame leap, and the harp and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For the wilderness shall break out with streams in the desert." But I tell you, my friends, if the only fulfillment of what Isaiah was saying here was that a man born blind would see, and a man born deaf would hear, and a man born lame would leap, then that would be a paltry fulfillment. But oh, how much more glorious it is when we look at these verses, and I can say, "I was born blind! I was born deaf. I could not hear the truth of God. I was born lame. But my King has come for my salvation, and I have seen the truth of God. I have heard the message of salvation, and I leap for joy. For I was the lame man, and I was the blind man, and I was the deaf man. But I have been saved by the power of this one that comes." He comes from Bozrah with dyed red garments. But he's come for my soul. And so when the disciples of John the Baptist came to ask Christ if he was the Messiah, Christ's answer was, "What do you see? The lame walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear." And so in verse 7, "The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water, in the habitation of dragons, where each lay shall grass and reeds and rushes." Remember the woman at the well? "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But the water that I shall give you shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so if all that was being prophesied here was that the wilderness of Palestine would once again be fertile, what a paltry fulfillment that would be. But oh, my friend, the truth is there is within me and within every believer a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, that's the introduction. Verse 8 is where we've been heading. An highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Very simple outline this morning. The highway, the travelers, and the destination. There's a highway spoken of in this verse. There are those that travel on the highway, and any highway has to lead somewhere. What is the destination? First of all, a highway. The phrase highway that we find in this verse literally means a way that is cast up. This is a way that is prepared. This is not some path that came about because the deer happened to walk this way. If you look at my yard, you'll see a spot across the backyard where, if you look closely, you'll frequently see deer tracks. But if you go to the edge of the yard where the brush has grown up, there's a very clear path where the deer walk through my yard just about every night, and we can always tell when they're there because the cat jumps up on the back of the sofa and gets very excited. Their tail starts doing this, and you know, okay, the deer are probably in the backyard. And when I was a child, I used to walk through the pasture, and there was a very clear path where the cows always walked to the barn on the same path. But this is not that kind of a path. This is not some path that came about because animals took a habitual course. But when we read, there shall be a way there, a highway, this is a way that is cast up. It is a way that is prepared. It is a way that has been graded out and prepared. And of course, we have the word, the prophecy, prepare ye the way of the Lord. This is not some pathway that will be obliterated if the animals stop traveling it. This is not some pathway that the sands can blow and obliterate, or that some storm will send a flood and it will wash it away. But rather, the way that is spoken of here is emphasized, there shall be a highway and a way. This is a way that cannot be destroyed. This is a pathway that is clear, that is marked out. Even though we're going to see later, fools will not err therein. Yet, it is a pathway. It is a way that is prepared. In Isaiah, I've already referred to it earlier, but Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Jehovah. Make straight a path in the desert, a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And then again in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom ye delight. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. This is a prepared way. It is a way that has been prepared. But also it is a pure way. This highway is a pure way. Look there again at verse 8. And an highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Why had the land become a wilderness? Because of unholiness. Because they had turned to idols. because they had rejected Jehovah God, because they had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because of sin. But this is a way of holiness. But brethren and friends, there's more there. For that phrase, a way of holiness, literally means the way of the Holy One. It is the way of Jehovah. It is the pathway that Christ, the Messiah, will walk. It is the way of the Holy One. It is the way on which the Holy One will travel. And in the train of the Holy One, those made holy through Christ travel as well. It is the way of holiness. It is a pure way. In Isaiah 52 and verse 1, "Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. From henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised or the unclean." There's going to be a way to Jerusalem. And the uncircumcised, the unclean, they will not walk on that way. They cannot walk on that way because it is a pure way. It is the way of holiness. But not only is this highway, this way, a prepared way and a pure way, it is a protected way. Verse 9, no lion shall be there. No lion shall be there. In Revelation 21, verse 27, we read, "There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever maketh an abomination." Satan cannot walk on this way. The roaring lion cannot come into this way. This is a protected way. "No lion shall be there, nor ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found." Our adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he cannot touch those in this way. For Christ declared that they are in his hand, and no man shall pluck them out of his hand. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Those that walk on this way walk in the protection of Jehovah God. And Jesus Christ, walking in this way, how many times did Satan try to kill him before the cross? From the time he was an infant, when Herod killed all the baby boys, through his temptation in the wilderness, through the multitude trying to throw him off a cliff, again and again, Satan wanted to take him from this way, but he could not. And my friend, Satan would love to take me from this way, but he cannot. For this way prepared by my God, and this way purified by my Savior, is a protected way. And in this way I am protected, and Satan cannot have me. And I say that not with arrogant boldness, for we are to be sober and to be vigilant. But remember what it said: strengthen the feeble, give courage to the weak, to the fainting. We're protected in this way. And so we see, first of all, the way which God has given to us, prepared for us, purified. Only the pure will walk on it, and in which we are protected. "He shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." But secondly, we would consider the travelers on this way. And if you haven't picked up on it yet, in the first instance, the traveler on this way is Jesus Christ himself. The way which was prophesied was the way for the Messiah. This is the way of Jesus Christ that leads from the Garden of Eden through the cross to heaven. That is the way. I've already read to you Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4, but let me read those two verses and add verse 5. Isaiah 40 and verse 3, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert an highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The glory of the Lord is revealed, and that glory is found in Jesus Christ. Oh, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. But to the child of God, oh, what glory! My Messiah, my Savior, is glorious. He's glorious. And so, Jesus Christ, in the first case, is the traveler on this way. But we become travelers on this way. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 8. But it shall be for those the wayfaring men. Verse 9. But the redeemed shall walk there. Verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. Jesus Christ is the first traveler of this way. He is the prime traveler of this way. He is the one for whom the way was created. But now he has become the way. For he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so Christ is the prime traveler of the way. But we find here that this way in verse 8 is for those, the wayfaring men. And don't go to sleep yet, folks, because this is glorious stuff. This is marvelous truth and food for the soul. This word wayfaring men or wayfaring man, we find that phrase, that word, 6 times in our English Bible, the wayfaring man. However, this time in Isaiah 35 and verse 8 is a single use. In other words, this is the only time that this word is translated wayfaring. Typically, this word is translated to walk. You can say how wayfaring comes from, the walking man. To go, to journey, to pursue, to depart. This phrase, the wayfaring man, is glorious, for there is so much truth here. The first time we find this idea of one who is walking is in the Garden of Eden. For there Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the cool of the garden. And it's the same word that's translated here in Isaiah 35 verse 8 as wayfaring. And so beginning in the Garden of Eden, we find that there is a journey taking place, for God was walking with his people in the garden. And then we find this verse again, for Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch, a righteous man, was walking in the pathway of God. Enoch was a wayfaring man. He was on a journey that leads from the Garden of Eden through the cross and to heaven. He was a wayfaring man. And then we find Noah in Genesis 6 and verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And it's the same word, wayfaring. And we know about Noah. Noah lived in a wicked day. Noah lived in a day when all men were walking on the road to hell. But Noah was walking with God. He was walking on a different road. He was a wayfaring man. And then we come to Genesis 17 and verse 1. And Abraham was 99 years old. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And it's the same word, wayfaring. Abraham and all of his generation was called by God to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to leave his family and to leave the world behind and to walk a different pathway. Walk with me and be perfect. And so in Genesis 12 and verse 9, and Abraham journeyed going on toward the south. And that word going in that verse is the word walked. Walking on toward the south, and it's wayfaring. God said, leave Ur of the Chaldees. Everywhere you walk, I'm going to give it to you. And he walked with God. Abraham walked with God. And because Abraham walked with God, his nephew was blessed. For we read in Genesis 13 and verse 5, and Lot also, which went with Abraham. And that word went is the same word that we find in Isaiah 35 and verse 8. Because Abraham walked with God, his nephew Lot walked with him. He went in that pathway. He walked in the pathway of God. And then Abraham sends his servant to find a bride for Isaac. And in Genesis 24 and verse 40, it says, and he, that is Abraham, said unto me, that is the servant, Abraham said to his servant, the Lord before whom I walk, Abraham's talking to a servant, the Lord before whom I walk, before whom I'm a wayfarer, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. You're going to walk the pathway that I'm walking, and God's angel is going to walk that pathway with you. And prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. And then we skip over one verse and come down to verse 42 of Genesis 24. And the servant says, and I came this day to the well and said, Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper me in the way which I go. And the word go that the servant uses in Genesis 24:42 is this same word. And so Abraham walked with God. God tells his servant, you walk, and the angel of the Lord will walk with you. And the servant says to Laban, I have walked, I go in the way that my master Abraham has told me to go, and I came and I found a bride for Isaac. And so here's this servant. He is not of the seed of Abraham. He's the steward of Abraham's house. He does not have a single drop of Abraham's blood in his body. But he's been brought into the covenant. And now he's walking on the way that leads from the Garden of Eden through the cross to Zion. Jacob has left his mother and his father. He will never see his mother again. Jacob comes to Bethel, and he takes a stone and he uses it for a pillar. And as he sleeps, he dreams a dream of a ladder descending from heaven to earth, and the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder, and God himself standing at the top of the ladder. And in Genesis 28 and verse 20, and Jacob vowed a vow saying, if God will go with me and will keep me in this way that I go. And that go is our word. God, if you'll keep me in this way that I go, this wayfaring way that I walk through this world of sin, God, if you will keep me in this prepared way, if you will keep me in this pure way, if you'll keep me in this protected way, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then thou shalt be my God, and this stone which I have set up a pillar shall be the house of God. And so now Jacob is a wayfaring man. He's walking this pathway. And when Jacob was dying, he was blessing his children. And Jacob comes to the blessing of Joseph in Genesis 48 and verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. The God that your grandfather and your great-grandfather and your great-grandfather walked before. The God that I walked before. Joseph, the God that you were to walk before. Whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. The God which fed me all my life long unto this day. The angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. Bless Ephraim and Manasseh. Bless your children, Joseph. Bless the lads. And let my name be named on them. And the name of my father Abraham and Isaac. Let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Why? Because Abraham and Isaac and Jacob have walked with God, and Joseph, you through all the trials of life have walked with God, and now may Ephraim and Manasseh be wayfaring men. May they walk this same walk. When God sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Pharaoh. In Exodus 3 and verse 19, we read these words. God says to Moses, and I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. And that word go is our word. It is the same word walk. God says to Moses, I'm sure that Pharaoh will not let you walk on my way. Who does Pharaoh represent throughout Scripture? Satan. Who does not want you to walk on this highway? It is Satan. And God tells Moses, I'm sure that Pharaoh, he won't let you go. Let my people walk. Let my people be wayfarers on this earth. And Satan says, no. I will not let them walk. I will not let them go. But, oh my friend, if you were a child of God, greater is he that is in you than he is in the world. And the way has been prepared. It is a way of purity. And the child of God is protected in this way. And then, after Pharaoh has been defeated, after the Passover, which pictures the death of Christ, and the death angel passes through the land, and those where the blood is sprinkled upon the doors, they are spared. The children of Israel now are in the wilderness, and God leads them with a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. If I get choked up here, friends, forgive me. For in Exodus 13 and verse 21, and the Lord went before them. And that word went is our word. When God led Israel through the wilderness in a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, it says the Lord went before them, and it's our same word. He walked before them. And they came to the Red Sea, and it says God went again. But this time he went around behind them and stood between them and Pharaoh's army. God went with them. And then they came to the Red Sea. And in Exodus 14 and verse 29, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land, and it's our word, folks. They walked through the Red Sea on dry land. Isn't that a prepared way? Isn't that a purified way? The ark went first. Isn't that a protected way? It was their protection itself. And when Pharaoh and his armies tried to follow, what happened? Well, fools cannot wander therein. They were drowned. But the wayfarers, those walking from the Garden of Eden through the cross to heaven, they walked on in safety. Jehovah promised that he would continue to always walk with his people. In Leviticus 26, verses 12 and 13, God says, "And I will walk among you." That's our word. "And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." God says, look, I'm going to walk with you through this wilderness. What happened in the wilderness when the children of Israel walked through it? Well, water came out of rocks. What was the prophecy? The water would spring forth and become pools. What was scattered on the ground? Manna. Manna doesn't grow out of the desert. But the desert blossomed forth for them.
Yes, it did.
"I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread." Amen. The wilderness blossoms for the children of God. Yes. We have nothing, but we have everything.
That's right.
We don't need this world's goods because we have all this world's goods that we need. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory." That is the promise for those that are walking from the Garden of Eden through the cross to Zion. That's the promise of the wayfaring man. And again, in Deuteronomy 20 and verse 4, "For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you." And that word "goeth" again is our word. God is a wayfarer with you, and he will fight against your enemies to save you. And then again in Deuteronomy 23 and verse 4, "For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of the camp." And it's our word. Joshua and Caleb went to explore the land. 10 spies brought back an evil report. Joshua and Caleb believed the Lord, the way the Lord had sent them. And in Numbers 14 and verse 38, "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that went to search out the land." And the word "went" is our word. It's the same word translated as wayfarers in Isaiah 35 verse 8. I hope you're not getting tired of this.
No.
Because the best one's yet to come. When the children of Israel walked around Jericho, in verses 9 and verse 13, we find the word 8 times. 8 times. I'll emphasize that each time I come to it. Jeremiah 6 and verse 9. "And the armed men went before the priest and blew the trumpets, and the rearward came after the ark, and the priest going on and blowing with the trumpets." Verse 13. "And 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on," and there it's a double, went on continually. So they went on continually. That is our word twice. Went on is one time. Continually is another use of the same word. They went. They walked. "And blew the trumpets. And the armed men went." There it is again. before them, but the rearward came. There it is again. After the ark of the Lord and the priests going on, blowing the trumpets. Eight times in those two verses recounting the march around Jericho. Those men marching around Jericho with the ark were wayfaring men. They were walking the path that God said to walk, and they were doing it obediently. God said, don't say a word, don't shout. We'll blow the trumpet. And so six times they walk around without saying a word, but the trumpet blows. And then the seventh time as they walk around, the trumpet blows and they shouted God's command and the walls fall down. What is God incapable of doing with the wayfaring men? What wall cannot fall down before Mission Bible Church? I've told you my prayer is not that we'll buy a building, but that God will give us one. That's a big request. But God is able. In Joshua 23, verse 14, Joshua, who has led the children of Israel, says, behold, this day I am going the way of all flesh. And that going is our word. And as it is appointed unto man once to die, all men will walk the pathway of death. But for those that are walking the king's highway, Christ has taken our death on himself. Because getting ahead of myself because I can't help it, I've said several times that this is the pathway that leads from the garden where God walked in the cool of the day through the cross and to heaven. Why did Christ ride a donkey into Jerusalem to die? And so Joshua said, I'm going the way of all men. I'm walking this pathway that God has given me to walk. But I know where I'm going. And folks, I've got so many more, but I've got another 2 pages just of this walking. Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. And I'll try to go quickly through this because I know it is going to get long. And the child Samuel grew on. And that phrase, grew on, talking about the little child Samuel. There's a 5-year-old serving in the temple. He grew on. He walked in God's way. It's the same word. But sadly, in 1 Samuel 8 and verse 3, we read, and his sons walked not in his ways. And it's the same walk there as well. They didn't walk this pathway. They were not wayfaring men. They walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes. They walked a different way. How sad that is. When the ark of God was taken by the Philistines in 1 Samuel chapter 6, the Philistines realize that they can't keep this. This is holy. And they put an offering in it. And they put it on a cart. And we read that they put it between two kine, between two cows that had calves. And in 1 Samuel 6, verse 12, and the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth-Shemesh. And went, there's our word, along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. They took two cows that had just given calf. I don't know how many of you have spent much time on a farm. I was on a farm continually as a child. And I remember calves being taken from their mothers to be raised for veal calf, for veal. And I remember that cry in the barnyard of that mother cow mourning for her child, moaning And a mother cow will do that for days. Here, these cows that the Philistines have taken from their calves and put to pull the ark back to Israel. They went mourning as they went, walking the way that God was telling them to walk. They were obeying God. Mourning as they went, because they left their calves behind. But those cows were walking in the way of the wayfaring man. They were walking in obedience to God. God told Samuel, we find in King David in 2 Samuel 5:10, and David went on, and that went on with David. David walked with God. And just for the sake of time, we find that Solomon walked in this same way. And when Solomon was dedicating the temple, God said to Solomon, if you will walk in the way that your father walked, that's in 2 Chronicles 7, if you'll walk in the way that your father walked, and it's our word, if you'll be a wayfaring man, Solomon, as your father was a wayfaring man. And then we come to the Psalms. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. It's our word. Psalm 15. He that walketh uprightly. It is our word. Psalm 85. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It is our word. Psalm 81. Israel had. God says, "Oh, that they had. My people had hearkened unto me. That Israel had walked in my way." God was judging Israel because they hadn't walked in his way. Psalm 86, I will walk in thy truth. Psalm 119, verse 1, which we read in our responsive reading. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. We find also, as we close out this part of the message with walking, that the Gentiles walk in God's way. In Isaiah 60 and verse 3, and the Gentile shall come to thy light. And that word come is this word walk. Salvation is of the Jews, but it's given to the Gentiles by faith in Christ. And in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2, the people that walked in darkness, there's our word, have seen great light. And then in Micah chapter 4 and verse 2, many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, into the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. We've seen the pathway. It's a highway in a way. It's a way prepared. It's a way that fools shall not err therein. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The unclean shall not walk in. I didn't really emphasize that much. I think that's understood. It's a way of holiness. It's a way for the Holy One. We walk in the pathway of the Holy One, Jesus Christ. And we are protected in that way. We are wayfarers. It's for the wayfaring man. It's for the redeemed in verse 9 and the ransomed in verse 10. So we've seen the way, the highway, the travelers. What is the destination? Oh, as the saying goes, it's as obvious as the nose on your face. Come we that love the Lord, and let his joys be known. We're marching to Zion. We're marching to Zion. Look again at those last three verses. And an highway shall be there in a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. But it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall come. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. come to the promised land. You see the connection throughout all Scripture. Israel left Egypt, the world, to go to the promised land, and they journeyed through the wilderness, walking in God's way. All the saints of the Old Testament left the world behind, walking through the way, looking forward to the cross that leads to Zion. The wayfaring men, the children of God, walk through this world, leaving the world behind, walking on the way that has been prepared by our Savior, following Christ through the cross to Zion. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye be also. They'll come to Zion with songs of everlasting joy upon their heads. Isn't that interesting? It's on their heads, not in their mouths. It doesn't come from inside me. It comes from outside me. The songs of everlasting joy come from God to me. They don't come from within my corrupt heart to God. They're not in my mouth. They're on the head. Upon their heads. And they shall obtain joy and gladness. And sorrow and sighing will be no more. Brethren, verse 3, strengthen the weak hands. We're walking through a wilderness. God gives us manna as we walk. He opens up springs along the way. We're walking through a wilderness. It's a prepared way. It's a hard way. But it's the way of holiness. And we're protected therein. Strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. What was the promise? The lame will walk. Feeble knees can't walk. But my feeble knees are able to walk in God's way because He has healed my knees. Confirm the feeble knees. When I feel like I'm about to stumble, the righteous falls 7 times, but the Lord lifted him up. Confirm your feeble knees. Be not weary in well-doing. Walk on. Walk on, you wayfaring men. Because the path started in the garden. And it leads to glory. Say to them that are fearful in heart, be strong. Fear not. Be strong. Fear not. The lion can't come on the way. Oh, he may roar on the sides. But he will not come up on this way. That's the promise. In verse 8. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. Even God with recompense. He will come and save you. My friend, this morning, are you a wayfaring man?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
a
question.
Amen.
Let us stand for prayer. Father, I thank you for this glorious passage of your word. May now your Spirit confirm it to our hearts and souls. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.